Welcome
Welcome
to
to
our
our
meeting.
meeting.
Greetings
Greetings
to
to all
all
that,
those
those
that
that
are
are
in
in
the
the
platform.
platform.
Members, today we are
Members,
going
we
to
today we are going to
deliberate
deliberate
on
on
one
one
item
item
issue,
issue
on or
or
we'll
we'll
continue
continue
from
from
where
where
we
we
left
left
last
last
time.
time.
But to make it officially, I would think that it would be important that we start to note all the apologies that are here for record purposes. Can we note all these apologies, take us through again, pilot, for all the apologies that has been received?
Thank you, sir. It's an apology from Dr. Conway.
Yeah.
Honorable Mumpoking.
Yeah.
Honorable Mikalaikis.
Yeah.
And Honorable Kam. Those were the
You have a reason for this apology?
Yes, they say they are attending other meetings that coincide with our meeting.
Okay. Can anybody move the apology?
So,
yes.
Before I move,
yes.
I think it must be known that
well, I'm sorry, you cut off.
Almost everyone here.
Oh, come again. Sorry, you were cut off.
Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah, that's loud and clear now. That's much better.
No, thanks, sir. No, I was saying, sir, I think it needs to be noted that a lot of members here are serving in various different committees. And at such a time, our programming in the committee just coincides with other businesses of Parliament. For example, if you speak of
Hola.
So hence at some point the turnout of members, maybe I think the chair and the secretary must chair.
Yes, you just cut off, Hola. I'm sorry, you have to repeat almost the last part. You said the chair and the secretary.
Can you hear me now?
Try again.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, I hear you now, Paula.
All right, thank you, sir. Now I think maybe the chair and the committee secretary must maybe sit and look into the program of the committee and in the next committee meeting before the house rises, we sit and deliberate on the program. So that as we continue next year, we don't face the same problems now and again of members being unavailable for the committee. This committee is as important as other committees. So, Chair, I
okay, order. If I understand, you say that next time we must ensure that in the programming committee we discuss our program and ensure that it doesn't coincide with other meetings of parliament. Am I correct in trying to summarize it? But I must also remind you members that The reason why we choose Friday is because we most committees don't sit on Friday. Then it was advantageous for us to take Friday, especially now that we are all in visual meeting. So these meetings that are taking place, some of them are really emergency meeting that were not part of the previous programming. I know of the women's meeting that is sitting today. It's a meeting that was planned just like early this week. So, yeah, these are some of the reasons, but we note what you have raised, Kola. Going forward, we will ensure that our meeting as well are being prioritized. Thanks for that. Any other view members?
Good morning, Chair.
Morning.
My apologies. I just came. the problem of e-network, the site. So I'm late. And last time I was, I think something happened. I was busy with the exams and I was, I forgot even to apologize the way I was suppressed. But all in all, let me apologize to the committee for coming late. But on this view, Chairperson, I don't know if have you realized that most of your members, in fact, Justice have lots of your members. I think from Justice alone, it's myself, Honorable Kola, also Honorable Jackie.
Yes.
So three members, and also Honorable Breitenbach. So we are four. So if it happens that you clash with Justice, it means in whatever that you'll be doing in terms of looking at times of our meetings, you must also watch the movement of the program of Justice.
Justice.
That's my advice, yes, because you have four members in that committee.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. I was just adding on top of what Honorable Kola was saying.
No, you Thank are assisting you, us a lot, Comrade. I hope we will note it. We'll note it so that when we do, especially plan our next year program, we plan accordingly and consider most especial Justice in terms of the NA. Same thing in the NCOP. Our members are also derived from Justice as well. Okay. Let's note that pilot, going forward, we must ensure that these meetings don't just coincide with each other, especially Justice. Then members, is any other issue? Can we now continue with our meeting? I suggest, Comrade Masego, if you can mute your video. Yeah, as long as you hear us. Yeah, thank you so much. Or you put back the parliamentary background, it will assist the meeting a lot. Is it possible? Immute yourself. Masego, immute. Immute, Comrade Masego, immute yourself. We can't hear you.
Okay, my apology, Chair. Even the space where I am, it's not even conducive because there's work going on this side. I'm in the car. I'm just hiding myself just to attend the meeting. Let me switch it off, Chair, for the rest of the meeting.
No, not just for the rest of the meeting. I'm saying if you can have a background. Is it possible to put a parliamentary background on your phone?
technology.
I'll tell you outside the meeting why.
I know. Technology is against me. I don't know how to do it. It's a phone.
Maybe, yes,
switch it off.
Just, switch it off.
Yes.
As long as you are part of the meeting, it will be fine.
Please, please, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, my leader. Members, I think we must continue with our meeting as agreed. You remember last time, members, that we had a deliberation on the issues presentation. We had a presentation from the content advisor taking us through all the items that we divided our submission for this year into three categories. Those submission members assisted us a lot, and we said to the content advisor, they must go back and try to make a sort of a table to take us through for all the issues that were under category one that we agreed upon, to say those matters we are not going to deal with it as today, but we needed to note as to how did we resolve it. And secondly, we had also other issues, members,
I see we have lost the co-chair. I'll try and
Hello?
Co-chair? Hello, comrade co-chair?
The co-chair is missing. I think he has had a network problem.
Yes, he was just giving us a background of what we agreed on last time. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can, Dr. Mocheha.
Yes,
we can, yes.
Yes, honorable members, I think the co-chair was really summing up what we agreed on. And today we are expecting Comrade Sisanda to take us through what has been done in regard to what we agreed on. Maybe without a waste of time, let's welcome Honorable Dengo, and then Honorable Maseko is with us. I wonder if we don't make a quorum even now, but if we don't, we continue as...
Dr. Mutaka, you are on mute. Maybe if you can unmute your gadget. Thank you.
Yeah, Honorable Advocate Sisanda, are you ready?
Yes, Chairperson, I am ready. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think the co-chair assisted us in reminding us where we are. I think on that basis we can proceed. We are in a good hand.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, members. And thank you, colleagues. So just to take the members through briefly, last time we were together, I tabled officially all the submissions that came before the committee. That was on the 13th of November. And members agreed on the categorization of the submissions. In the categories, we had a category one, which denoted submissions that did not fall within the committee's mandate. Of those submissions, we received 33. So because members have agreed that and have had those submissions tabled, those submissions, most of them were people expressing their views on various matters, and some expressing the fact that they did not want to see their constitution change. It can be attributed that most of these submissions that we received, which was 33, there were people saying they do not want to see the constitution change. So I feel that perhaps it could be possibly the people were still replying to the constitutional process of Section 25 amendment, which the committee had been asking people whether it is desirable for this section to change or not. Over and above that, these 33 submissions, the committee has now agreed that they do not fall within our mandate, and the secretariat has communicated with those people to inform them that their submissions do not fall within the committee's mandate. That then left us with Category 2 submissions, which we have 10 of those. Of the 10 Category 2 submissions, we know that these ones fall within the category where we have requested for legal opinions. Within this category, we've only received one opinion for the submission that was from Legal Education, which is Submission 52 of 2020. Just to take the members through briefly of these submissions, these ones we will consider in a different meeting when we receive the legal opinions. The Legal Services of Parliament has indicated that they will be ready with the legal opinions on the 2nd of December so that we can schedule then a meeting to start hearing these submissions as and after we receive them. These legal opinions will guide members in their deliberations. So it is important for members to first hear what the guidance is prior to us deciding. Just to briefly go through them, these 10, it is Submission 2 of 2020 by Ms. Muloko, who requested the amendment of Chapter 9 in order to include a commission for internal auditors. Then her submission was referred to legal on the 18th of November of this year. Also, the second one is Submission 6 of 2020 by Andries. Andries wanted a review of all the accountability provisions in the Constitution, namely Section 19 in Chapter 2, Section 89 on the removal of the President, Section 96, which deals with the conduct of Cabinet members. That submission, members also agreed that they would like it to be referred to legal. Moving over to, page 2. Page 2 reflects then Submission 32 of 2020, which is from Kutso SK on the behalf of the Balu Bedu Dogma, who requested the review of Section 6 for Kilu Bedu to become an official language under Section 6.1. This was also referred to legal, and the committee will get guidance from legal with regard to this submission. Submission 33 was also submitted by the South African Secular Society, which requested the removal of God from the preamble. Submission 34 by Martin van der Steen, which requested a review of Section 1 and a cross-reference Section 36 and 37. That will also be explained to members in detail, and members will be given a recommendation, or members can decide based on the recommendation of the legal advice. Submission 36 of 2020 was also by Paul Hoffman, who also requested the insertion of a new Chapter 9 institution, which will be aimed at eradicating corruption. Submission 52, as stated already, is by Equal Education. So maybe I should stop at this here particular one, because members already received a legal opinion on this one. It was on the review of Section 100 on national intervention in schooling matters in order to strengthen it and make it more effective. The legal advice, in summary, was to the effect that Section 100, as it stands, has lack of clarity of the roles and responsibilities which need to take place when interventions are inserted. And this leads to confusion and a diminished accountability amongst the state organs which need to address the matters. And this is then becoming a detrimental state of affairs for the people who are affected, which are South Africans. So members, have been advised on this, and then they need to now take the time to deliberate on whether they find it desirable for the Section 100 to be clarified, because currently as it stands, it is not very clear in terms of the roles and responsibilities, and therefore it's not giving effect to the purpose for which the section was created. So if I can just stop there, Professor, and allow members to give input on whether they find it desirable or not for Section 100 to be amended.
Before we go there, could we just find out the brief to legal services? What is the mandate? What are we asking them to do?
Legal services was asked to check to have a look at the submission by Equal Education. If you remember, Legal Education had briefed the committee. And so they were asked to look at Section 100 and also look at their submission in detail and advise the committee whether it is indeed unclear in the way the section is. And is there indeed a lack of clarity with regard to the roles and responsibilities? And is there, in fact, accountability misunderstanding as the section stands? So legal came back to the committee and said that it is indeed clear to them in terms of their advice that this Section 100, as it stands, it does present some issues, because the roles and responsibilities of the state organs are not set out in clarity. This may not mean that the section needs to be changed in itself in the Constitution. It might mean that national legislation may need to be amended, but in fact, there is a challenge with this section as it stands, because there's a lack of clarity of the roles and responsibilities, and this leads to confusion and diminished accountability. So they said it is the legal advice that it is up to the committee to decide whether this section needs to be amended. However, in terms of their advice, they do find that there is strength, and they are supporting the submitters in requesting that this section be reviewed.
Now, in regard to Kilowedi, what would we asking them to do?
With regard to Kilowedi, Chairperson, we would be asking them to advise the committee on whether the committee can just make an amendment of its own, or make a recommendation that it's feasible for Kilowedi to become an official language, because as we have discussed in the committee, there are state organs who have been given budget in order to do things that, in order to develop the languages. The committee, in order for the committee to approve for a language to become an official language, there are steps which need to be made. So if those steps have not yet been taken, we need to satisfy ourselves as to why they have not been taken, and then recommend to Parliament that the language indeed be made an official language. However, because there are other languages who will also come forward and want to make the same submission, it is important for the committee to be guided by the legal advice in its deliberations in order to arrive at its decision.
Okay. Now, thank you very much for clarifying us. The other question was the question of inviting submitters to appear. Have you entertained that, or will that come later?
Chairperson, the idea and members, the idea is that members must first be guided by the legal advice, and then members will collectively decide, just as we have also had Equal Education come present before us. It would only be fair for members to also take the time to interrogate, or not interrogate, but to also hear the submitters express themselves on their submissions themselves, so that members can ask any questions they wish to ask, questions which might even emanate from the legal advice. So submitters should indeed be given an opportunity, just as we've given legal education an opportunity, and we've also had legal. So, but that will be up to the members to decide. Members may feel that a submission is straightforward and that they can make the decision, but where they feel they would like submitters who have requested to come submit, then they should give them the opportunity.
Thank you, honorable members. I think you will agree that Advocate Sasanda has done a wonderful job. She's actually done what we requested her to do. Can we then hear from yourself, what are your comments on the input?
Chair, there was a hand from Maseko Chele, but I'm not sure if I know.
Honorable Maseko, I know that she has challenges, but let's see if she's still there. Honorable Maseko?
Thank you, Chair. Am I clear, Chair?
No, very clear, my sister.
Okay, my Chair. Okay, Chairperson. I think I would love to have Advocate Sanda to help me on, firstly, on this one of Section 100. I hear the advice that we get is that it might not be necessary for us to change the Constitution. It looks like there's another option that we can opt for. For us to be able to deal with this issue, because if legal agree with equal education, that indeed there is something there. So obviously we have to resolve that matter. But now what I don't hear clearly is this one of saying we might not, it might not be necessary for us to change the constitution. Maybe the national, she said something about national, I don't know legal words. If she can clarify me on that one, that is the first one, Chair. And then the second one, I think I agree with her when she says we might need to give the people, the submitters, an opportunity to come. But we can also, for example, maybe we will check how many, in fact, these submissions that we have, can we be able to do them in a day, or how many can we take in a day so that we can do them quickly, deal with that one? Because I think calling them to come in, it is important. Lastly, Chairperson, is that if we have to do that, we will do that. It is part of our program for next year, because already time is against us. I want to hear that from Chair. When are we going to do that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Advocate Sanda, I heard you talking about scheduling a meeting for the 2nd. And I think that is related to what Honorable Jella is saying. So in answering her, can you tell us why the second, and then advise us?
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can just start, and thank you, members, with the last matter of the second. Chair, just to clarify, the matter of the second is just to say that legal services has returned to us saying that they will be ready on the second with the opinions, but our program states that our meeting will then be on the Friday of next week. So the legal was requested to be ready with the opinions today, but they've written to us to say that they are short-staffed. They are just needing a little bit more time to conclude on these opinions, which we've requested from them. So the second is just the date which we were given for when legal opinions will be ready. It's not necessarily the date of our committee meeting, Chairperson, just to clarify. And then moving over to the second last matter on the public hearings, if members are in agreement after they have heard the legal opinions that they would like to give submitters an opportunity to express themselves, because we are talking about 9 submitters here, it is actually more feasible as Memo Tseho has suggested that we please consider programming, having these submitters present to the committee next year. because that would be the time when the members would have had the legal opinion, they would have looked at the hard copy of the submission, and now to just finally give the person who submitted time to express themselves, it would allow the members to get to the process of deciding on desirability after considered all the matters, because even thereafter, members might decide they want to call stakeholders who are responsible for certain things that might come out from what submitters are saying, like people who are responsible within their province for some of these responsibilities which they would like to see attained. And then moving over to the advice on this section 100, legal did not mention that this section can be changed in national legislation, but I was saying that the committee will not prescribe to parliament how this section can be cured, because currently if the committee agrees that we are sitting with a section 100 that is not clear in itself, the constitution is not a document that will have detail in it, and this here clarity that is sought by legal education is something that can only be specified. In national legislation, because it needs to be detailed as to whose responsibility is whose, and also the stakeholders, they are clear as to what role they need to play. Normally, such detail is not included into the constitution itself. So parliament will then decide on its own whether they would like to see this matter amended in the relevant national legislation, which could be any legislation which deals with the section 100 matter, which gives effect to it. Because the constitution just gives us a general standard of way interventions should proceed, but then national legislation will normally then have regulations or have an amendment which can then speak to the details of who's responsible and how a matter should be dealt with, ma'am. So I do not want to recommend which act necessarily, because that will be the decision of parliament in terms of whether it will go to higher education or basic education, because this intervention situation, it affects the schooling sphere. So, ma'am, it will only depend if we as a committee, we just need to say we recommend that this section is not clear as it stands, and we recommend that it should be changed, and that the way that the change will be effected then will be something that is decided by parliament. Thank you, members.
Honorable Jelle, are you happy with the response, or do you have a follow-up?
Okay, Chair. Thank you very much. I'm happy with the responses, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Co-Chair, are you back? Co-Chair, are you
back? No, it's Ngola, sir.
Oh, Comrade Ngola, proceed.
Yes, I'm back, Chair.
Okay, well, welcome.
No, Co-Chair, we have taken over. While doing the way, we have taken over. I take it that there is no, as that
please,
said.
Please don't discuss schools in public.
No. We have a very good working relationship, so don't worry, there's no coup. we complement each other very well.
Chair, I think as the advocate is saying on her presentation, it looks like there is no existing national legislation that regulates on how the national government shall intervene to provincial governments when they fail their obligation, which is encapsulated in Section 100 of the Constitution. But I think part of what we must add is Section 139, was I have seen a number of cases that are between provincial quarters and municipalities, which relates to the same thing of the intervention into a lower sphere of government. I think, Chair, we need to consider it a proper. On what then will we enact China as parliament and advise parliament properly. But I think I'm not sure if the advocate is saying the legal parliamentary services is going to brief us on the second, they still need time. If that's the case, Chair, I would request that we await that legal opinion from the legal services and deliver it on it in our second meeting so that we're able to take a decision having been well advised by the legal service. But I'm attaching to her, especially 100, say that if we do go forward or ahead with the fact that there must be national legislation that is regulating this thing as the we all know that the Constitution can't give that much detail on the matter. We must couple it with Section 139 that regulates how the intervention to local government by provincial government must be done. That is my submission, Chair. Thank you.
Comrade Mohammed Dango, in keeping with our collegiality, I'm handing over to the co-chair and just say that that we're dealing with the 10 submissions, and he will lead us further. Comrade Co-Chairperson, you want to proceed?
No, thanks, Chair. I'm sorry, I just cut off because of the network here. I was relying on the Wi-Fi at home, and then I had to switch it off for data. Chair, thank you very much, members. I followed the discussion, so that for many purposes that all matters that were you raised under category, just for my understanding, category one submission, we all agree, members, that those matters which were so were processed, desirabilities of it is that all those matters, we close them now. They will write back to the submitters and ensure that those issues really doesn't fall under our scope to deal with it for now. And the second, the category two, if members, we were following the process here, that all those matters, nine more matters, we need to agree on two things there. As to after, firstly, is to agree to separate, to divide them into two, to have at least the five, Sisanda, and the four, to call those presenters to come and also give us presentation. But obviously, after the 2nd of December, we can't have those meetings before the 2nd of December. I'm not sure, members, whether we agree on that, because that's where we are expected to take a decision on. Am I with you before we get to category three? Did we agree?
Chairperson, if I may make a contribution.
Yeah.
Chairperson, it is the question of cooperative governance. Now, sitting in the NCOP, I've seen the effects of Section 139. And yeah. I think we have a view that we have three equal spheres of government, not lower spheres of government and different spheres of government. Then we can go forward with the idea that we're acting in cooperative governance, collegiality, and discussion with other spheres of government. But to actually say that national will impose could create other repercussions which I've experienced in other areas and other committees. Thank you.
I hear that. Thanks, Comrade Tango. Sisanda, would you have a comment on that?
No, Chair. No, Chair. The comment is noted. I have no comment on it. Thank you.
Chair, maybe if I can comment on that, because on Section 100, we received a submission from Equal Education. Remember, Equal Education is only concerned about education matters. So on Section 139, my view would be that we will need to receive a submission that will flag a problem, maybe in the next cycle when we advertise, and then that's when we can look at it. Because at the moment, what is in front of us is a concern by Equal Education relating to matters on interventions when in relation to education matters. So on cooperative governance, that would be extending it, would be doing it on our own, whereby we're supposed to receive a submission maybe from an interested party to say, look, Section 139 is problematic in this manner and this manner. That's what I wanted to maybe raise, Chair.
Co-chairperson?
Yes.
Co-chair, I think Advocate Sisanda helped us in regard to equal education by saying that there you would need a national legislation. And Advocate the pilot Gwebu is also helping us to say this other matter that Honorable Mohammed is raising is not before us now. So I think the matter should rest there. Thank you.
Thanks, members, because I was trying also to make some process issues so that when we resolve this matter, we go step by step. So thanks, members. That one will be noted, Comrade Tango. And also, members, you will notice that all the matters that mostly they are raised under Category 2, those matters at the end and the last section of where they gave action and progress to be updated. There, members, you remember when you read your first report and together with this one, it will tell you where are these issues are. Most of them, they are referred, like the one for, they are referred back to different committees. So that section actually summarized our previous meeting, which is telling us that where are these matters are as we speak today. They are referred to those committees. Maybe the last one, members, is to, I will propose that, Sisanda, we need to take decisions, even though we're not going to rush these matters. But as members, we must comment on a row by row in terms of the Category 3 submission, whether after Sisanda, let's say, Category 1, that is the submission by Robert, he take us through, then we must comment as members to say yes or no, so that we simplify this work in such a way that after the 2nd of the 22nd, we will now be aware of will having the legal information or advice, so that by then we will take the final decision on the matter and go forward. If that can be audible, members, if we process these matters like that, other than to jump to section to number 5, number 4, number 3, number 2, just to move Sisanda as a row by row, and then the members comment on it, and then it will summarize our meeting and come to a closure as speedy as possible. I suggest that, members. Can we take that route?
Thank you, yes.
If yes, members, Sisanda?
Yes,
my... Is that the caller?
I'm agreeing with what you are proposing.
Okay, thank you very much, member. Sesanda, because we are only expected to deal at most with category 3. We actually were dealing with it, but I propose sort of like a process order as has been tabled in this table. So take us through on section the first number one, the submission by Robert. Just give us a little bit of a background, then we will comment at the end. Members will have chance to comment at the end.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are now moving over to these category 3 submissions that are ready for consideration by the members as they are. The first one is submission 1 of 2020. It was submitted by Robert Westerner. The subject matter of the submission is that Mr. Westerner is concerned about a possible constitutional amendment which will permit warrantless searches by the security services. The recommended action is that we refer the submitter to the Portfolio Committee on Police, because the Johannesburg High Court has given Parliament 2 years to appropriately amend the South African Police Act, which then stipulates these provisions that discuss the warrantless searches. This matter does not necessitate amendment of the Constitution, as Parliament has been given time to address this matter in the South African Police Service Act. So members then need to decide whether it is desirable or not for this submission to result in the amendment of the Constitution or not. Thank you, members.
Members, we are told that it's not a matter of urgency on this matter. What's your comment?
Sir?
Is that Zola? Zola?
Yes, it's Zola. Zola, yes. Yes, you sir. I just want to check, because it's not only the SAPS Act that regulates a seizure and a search without a warrant. The Criminal Procedure Act, Section 40, regulates that as well. So I'm not sure if when there is a court order that only speaks on the SAPA Act, but that does not speak on the Criminal Procedure Act. Well, the Criminal Procedure Act equally regulates that on the search and seizure section, which is Section 40. So I'm not sure if how do we deal with that when there is equally the court order. I don't have the contents of the court order, so I don't know what is provided in the court order, as Advocate Sanda is saying. So I'm not sure, Chair, how to approach it, if we may be advised.
Is that pilot?
Yes, sir. I want to agree with Honorable Ngola. What happened? These were the days. It was the early days of lockdown when we advertised for the public to make submissions. So there's an organization called Dear South Africa. They published on their website and sent wrong message or wrong information to their members, saying that this advert that we placed wants to formalize or wants to take away the need for subs when they enter your premises to do away with search warrant. So that was like a deliberate move by Dear South Africa. Like, it was a misleading kind of campaign. So when they were writing to us to say that no, we don't want any amendment, that like we don't want police to enter our premises without, I was replying them to say, look, anything that has to do with warrantless searches or something like that, they have to address their concern to the committee that is the custodian of the Criminal Procedure Act. Us, we are only concerned with any clause in the Constitution. So that was, I think the source of the problem was the information that was sent by that, I think it's an NGO or something called Dear South Africa.
members, all those were issues of clarities, and also remember we agreed. Any other comment that this matter is not a matter of agents right now, and do we agree that it doesn't require any new amendment in terms of the constitution, while we'll be checking also the alignment with the other constitutional issues, as Tola has already mentioned. Do we agree on that, member, so that we move to the second item?
Yes, Chair. Particularly because that clause, the intention of the legislature then was that there are moments where justice is supposed to be done. Yeah. But if you go and apply for a warrant of arrest or for a warrant of search, it may defeat the purpose of the search or the seizure. So I think it must stay like that, because at some point a police officer sees a crime being committed on the spot, and the evidence to that effect is concealed in a certain place. Now, going to court to apply for a warrant for seizure, arrest, or search may defeat that those goods may have been moved from that place. I'm making an example, a clear example of the intent of the legislature there. So, Mina, I'm of the view that no, there is no urgency, there is no need in actual fact for the review of that section. Thank you.
Like more like as far as well, they've got a clause of section C, and yeah, you're right for that. Let's move. You got it, Sisanda?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. I've captured all the comments which have come through from members, and also the decision that it doesn't necessitate in particular for us to amend the constitution, but that we can look at the Criminal Procedure Act, and we can also look at the South African Police Service Act and fine-tune those acts instead. So now moving on to the second submission in category three, this one is submission 4 of 2020, and it was submitted by Ntluso Ntshulane. Ntluso is asking the committee to amend Section 25 in order to allow for the explicit expropriation of land without compensation, thereby repealing the 1913 Land Act. I then recommend to the committee that we refer Ntluso, the submitter, to the work of the ad hoc committee, which is in the process of fine-tuning its report for adoption by Parliament, and that this section is indeed a section which this committee began, and it is in the process of finality. And it's not that the Constitution, it's not desirable to change this section. It is indeed been found desirable, and it is in the process of being amended. Thank you, members. Over to you.
Co-chairperson.
Yes,
Co-chairperson.
Yes, Chair.
I'm just wondering whether it's fair to refer the submitter to the ad hoc committee. Isn't it our responsibility to refer the matter to the ad hoc committee, as we do with other cases where we refer matters to other committees? I just want to be clarified. I thought if we put the burden on the submitter, there may be things may fall a crack. It wouldn't be advisable that this refers the matter, because the question of the recent in the public hearings where, you know, because this act also deal with the cut-off date, which is a very sensitive matter, so it's a really important issue. Shouldn't we ourselves refer to the ad hoc committee? I know that on both there will be a workshop of that committee, so that already this matter is before them.
Susanna?
Yes, I am guided by the chairperson and by the committee itself. So that if the committee for uniformity, it is suggesting that we refer the matter rather to that committee instead of referring the submitter to follow up on the progress, then we shall proceed as recommended by co-chair, that we then indeed write to the ad hoc committee and inform them of our submitter, who is Ms. Ntluso, who is then asking whether this subsection has indeed been changed and will it result in the repeal of the 1913 Act. I have noted the chairperson's suggestion.
Yeah, just maybe in short is that the committee agrees to refer the matter to the ad hoc committee, and also it's a matter of informing Mr. Nsoso that the matter is now referred to the ad hoc committee as they are dealing with this matter, so that just to be aware as well. We need just to send a response to him and the matter be referred there. I think that's what the committee is agreeing upon. Anybody wants to raise something on that?
Yes, sir. I wonder. That the submitter is asking our committee to look at something which Parliament is already looking at. So perhaps what we could do, another option is to write to the submitter to say, your issue that you are raising, there is an ad hoc committee that was set up by Parliament to look specifically into the issue that you are raising, like what maybe Susanda was saying earlier on.
I think we agreed, members, that instead of referring the petitioner or the to the committee, to the ad hoc committee, we refer the matter to the ad hoc committee. Then you can put it, you can respond back to him, informing him that all these matters that he has raised is going to be dealt with accordingly to the ad hoc committee, which are almost dealing with, who is already dealing with the matter currently. As to how, I don't think it will be much important, but if we have done that, we will be done justice. Like all others that we have dealt with under category 2, just to respond back to him. How you deal with that, advocate, you deal it in a legal form. Can we then agree on that, member, so that we can go to item 3?
Correct, co-chair. I think you summed it very well.
Okay. Now, members, let's go to Sanda to item 3.
Thank you, co-chair. Moving on to item three is submission 10 of 2020, and it was submitted by submitter Wasila Jardine. Ms. Wasila Jardine is requesting that the committee review section 11 of the Constitution in order to provide for the death penalty. The recommended action is that the committee be made aware that there is no research that currently proves that the death penalty is more effective than the life sentence imprisonment, which is currently being used by the country. So it is now up to the member to decide whether it's desirable to amend section 11 to include death penalty, or whether to leave it as it is on the basis of there not being any research that the death penalty will be more effective than life imprisonment. Over to you, members.
Members?
Chair.
It's a straightforward matter, members, isn't it? No research has been made that has proven so far that death penalty. Yes, members?
Ngola.
Ngola?
No, Chair, I think this thing of death penalty has been a public discussion for quite some time now, in particular at the rise of the GBV matters. But I don't think the discussion was on precisely on the legal prescripts, but it was more of an emotional kind of a thing of a society that is angry on GBV and all that and all that. But I think the response that there is no research on whether it worked or not. But we know as a country, it has brought bloodshed. It has been used as a reactionary response to a movement by people of South Africa in the country. So I don't think taking the country back to death penalty is going to be in line with the spirit of the constitution that here says we must heal the wounds. So I don't agree with the submission that we must review Section 11 of the constitution and bring back death penalty. That's my submission, Chair. I don't agree with it. It's a reactionary kind of a conduct. So South African government must not be associated with killing people in response to whatever that has been done. Hence, in even on the arrest part, South Africa is using the corrective measure, not the punitive measure. So I think we must not give up on our people such that we kill them as the state. I disagree with the submission by Wesela, this person. I disagree with that submission submitter. I wish to convince the committee not to agree with that submitter. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Toda. You have also given the content and motivated the matter. I think this is the view of the committee. Am I right, members?
My hand is up.
Your hand is up. I don't know for how long your hand was up. But yeah.
No, that's now, my chair. Okay. Not long.
And mine, Coach.
I think it was just...
now I see after, it. Yeah, I see okay. Your finger here, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jefferson. Yes, I think this matter, yes, we do have views on this one.
Yes.
The issue, I don't think it was even during the time, it has been more motivated because of the issues of gender-based violence. But it has always been there, even before the high lentozanaya of this GBV. Because remember, there was this sector of community about the issues of the farm killing of farmers and all those things. It has always been there, the view and the feeling of some individual in the society that we need to bring back in death penalty. But as for now, it is us, it is the ANC that is in charge, and we use the policies of the ANC to govern the country. And it was agreed, yes, the reason why the constitution the way it is because we have taken a conscious view that killing people, it does not bring any solution in the problems that we have. Because in future, in fact, previously, it was used and many people were killed and innocent people were killed. I think the all these views that we are talking about, Chairperson, will be relevant when the submitters come. Yes, we will have to defend that when they come. Give them the reasons why ours is for ilokozane restitution and rehabilitation and all that. But for now, let's say the view is that we don't change it. Let's wait for them to come so that we can be able to give that view. But I don't think putting it here as we don't have a research has not been done. It's like we are agreeing that if research can be done, then we would be able to consider that. If we put it like that.
Okay, let me give Masego to finish up, Chair. Then you actually, there is Dango. I would prefer that you sum up after Comrade Dango. Let Masego finish. I think she was still on the platform.
And I apologize for interfering.
Yeah. I got it, Chair. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm sure, Co-Chair, maybe I said something that really made you to come in that way. But for now, okay, my view is that let's just wait for the submitters to come, because remember we agreed that we're still going to call them, these people to come. But our view is clear, Chairperson. We don't even have to indicate the issue of research there, my view. Because it's like we would really consider changing it. Thank you, Chairperson.
So your view is simple. Maybe let's move around. Let's reword the issue of the researcher. It's just that the committee is not agreeing on this matter for now, going forward.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Then the content advisor will find a suitable word to be used there. In terms of the spirit of the committee. Comrade Dango, your hands was also up, and then the co-chair will sum up on this matter before we go to the next item.
No, my hand is down. I did interrupt. Thank you.
Okay. Co-chair.
Yes, my
actually, I was raising my hand because I thought Honorable Jelle is gone, but I fully support her, what she's saying, what Comrade Honorable Kola is saying. And just to remind the meeting that on the 18th April 2002, our late President Mandela launched the Moral Regeneration Movement, because he had realized that the legacy of the past has led our people to behave in a beastly way, and that we have to overcome that legacy. So to come at this stage and say we should be killing people when we have not addressed this moral degeneration and associated ills is just not on. So I want to agree with Honorable Masego, Honorable Kola, that we should not even say we need research to take a decision on this. We should just rework this. So I fully support the two honorable members.
Members, unanimously, we agree on this matter. Thanks for the contribution. We will then phrase it accordingly, Sisanda. Then we move to the next item, members and colleagues.
Thank you, members.
Maybe Honorable Co-Chairperson.
Yes.
This moral regeneration movement that late President Mandela launched, and it was a national program. Sometimes it has just disappeared into thin air. Maybe we should refer this matter back to arts and culture and say, what is the status of this? Because with the gender-based violence and already some people are even suggesting that people must be castrated, which means we're sinking deeper into moral degeneration. Maybe we need to review that program and see how can we strengthen it so that we keep on improving the character of our people and how they relate to others.
But because, don't you think, Prof, that that will need another new submission? But for now, that the committee, let's say no, and remove the issue of the research and others, then we find a better way to say why we are saying no. And we appreciate your input to remind us about this matter. In terms of the moral regeneration. But those matters, I hope, if they were going to be invited as well, and just to hear them, talking on any other issue besides this one. But for now, members, can we have that our decision on this matter is a no? Then we'll find a way, how do we rephrase it going forward? Is
I'm
it
happy
so,
with
Sandra?
Thank you. Is there another member?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say maybe, Chair, instead of saying the research, because I think there is a constitutional judgment in 95, the Makwanyan judgment. We can also use that to say the Constitutional Court decided on the issue of death penalty and took a decision. That's all, Chair.
Yeah, I think, Pilot, you will contribute when you finalize this matter with Susanda. It will come to us very much polished. If it's not so, we will say it where it needs another polishment. Whoever wants to contribute outside the meeting, when Susanda has just given us the final draft, we will comment a lot there. I suggest that, members, let's move to the next point.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I have noted all the members' inputs for the final draft. Moving on to item four. Item four is also part of category three. I have noted that submission 14 of 2020 and submission 39 of 2020 was the same submitter, but that was not noted in the executive document. But this submission 14 and 39 was by Louise Boyce, and she submitted for the constitutional inclusion of a provision to make a public consultation and parliamentary involvement mandatory during the disaster management decisions when they are being taken. The recommended action is that a proposal that is made by Louise Boyce can be addressed in the National Disaster Act and the Disaster Management Act. And it does not really necessitate amendment of any section in the Constitution. The public involvement which the submitter would like to see can be something which can be considered in the National Disaster Act and the Disaster Management Act. And therefore, Louise Boyce's submission does not necessarily necessitate an amendment of the Constitution. Over to you, members, on the desirability.
Members, we are really deferring this matter. Do agree to defer this matter to the National Disaster Act?
Agreed, Chair.
Really, if that's agreed,
yes,
any seconder?
Yes, Chair, second. I think we must defer it to the Kochtaga Portfolio Committee to deal with it. I think the amendments on the National Disaster Act are their competence. So,
anyone wants to complicate?
Can I make a follow up on also on what we have just said? I want to find out how Advocate Susanne find it relevant for it to come here, just for interest, so that I remember earlier when she was presenting.
Yes.
She said there is 33 of those that they don't need constitution to be changed. And then I don't know, maybe, yeah, if she can explain, maybe there's something that when she was reading the whole thing made her to be accommodated here, or maybe it was because she wanted us to refer it as we are doing it now. Thank you, Chair.
Remember, members, to simplify issues, don't put difficult matters. Yeah? Susanda?
Yes, thank you, members. Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, just to be clear, that group of 33 submissions were ones that did not fall within our mandate. But there are ones where people are saying that they want to see in the Constitution that Parliament must be involved and that there must be public consultation whenever decisions of disaster management are being made. So in this one, I am simply saying, let us make the submitter aware that all these decisions they are outlined within two acts, namely the Disaster Management and the National Disaster Act. And therefore, for a submitter to write to us in a two-liner and say, please make sure Parliament is involved in any decision-making together with the public when there is a lockdown. They want to see that in the Constitution. So in this category, I felt this submitter can be directed and advised, whereas the other 33 are people who are just expressing their views, saying they do not want to see the Constitution change for a particular reason. But this one is saying they want to see a clause that speaks to involvement by Parliament and the public. So there is a slight difference between this Category 3 and Category 1, because Category 1 is just people who are saying they do not want to see the Constitution change. And also to clarify to the member, we're only going to be inviting, in terms of the advice, but members can decide, the ones of the Category 2, the ones which we have deemed they require legal opinion. However, these ones, they've been categorized as ones which are straightforward and as ones which will give the public a direction and guidance as to how their matters are being sorted. Because for us to entertain them would then be dwelling on matters that are not in line with our mandate, but it is our responsibility to give people guidance as to why matters cannot be included in the Constitution. As important as they view them, we need to show them that Parliament has already passed acts that deal with the matters that they want to see in the Constitution. Thank you, members.
Members, I suggest that we go to item 5. Chris, thank you very much for that, Susanna.
Item 5 is submission 20 of 2020 and is by Chris Blaine. Chris Blaine would like to amend the right to equality in the Constitution, which allows racial discrimination for disaster support and for a focus on equal opportunity. Therefore, Chris Blaine is saying that he wants the right to equality to be removed and that everyone should benefit equally from disaster management support. And then we can then advise Chris that his matter cannot be entertained by the committee on the basis of the support of the right to equality. It emanates from the Employment Equity Act and also the PEPUDA Act, which speaks to matters of why it needs to, there needs to be inclusion of all people and all matters. These matters have been discussed thoroughly in the executive document, and therefore this submitter can be directed to the Employment Equity Act to understand why there needs to be fair discrimination in certain instances, and that we cannot simply remove fair discrimination which is allowed in the right to equality clause in the Constitution. Over to you, members.
Thanks, Susanna. I think this one also is a straightforward matter, because we must not deal with issues that come out of anger. And I'm a chair. I'm not supposed to say that, but reading the content of this, you can read it well if you go back to the notes that Susanna has given us previously. What do you say, members, on this one? Thank you so much. It's supported. Pilot?
No, I wanted to say Honorable Masego Chele has raised her hand.
Okay. Then, members, thank you. If it's agreed, let's move to the next item. Lotta, Susanna.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Submission 40 of 2060 is by Desiree Lotta. Desiree Lotta would like to see the Constitution amended in order to reflect that everyone who is investigated for corruption or fraud or tender tampering should not be allowed to hold a position of power. The advice to the committee is that South Africa is a constitutional state which abides by the rule of law and is guided by national legislation which allows for the investigation and the charging of people who transgress the law. And therefore, this request to amend the Constitution by Desiree Lotta, it does not necessitate us to change the Constitution, but that we should be guided by the national legislation which allows us to lawfully investigate and charge people who are transgressing the law. Thank you, members. Over to you.
Members, straightforward matter. Hola, are you still there? Any comment, members?
Straightforward, Chair.
Straightforward, Chair.
Then let's move, members, to the next one.
Thank you, members. Item number 7 is by Andres Davis. Adrian Davis. It's submission number 43. This person is requesting a review of Chapter 12 of the Constitution on the traditional leaders. He is requesting that we abolish the unelected persons from holding power or assessing state or provincial resources by virtue of hereditary title to land worked by or inhabited by other people. The advice to the committee is that making this review and amending the constitution to unallow these unelected members, as the submitter is saying, it will undo all the consultative work which has been done by parliament to give effect to the will of the people, and it will also undo the work which has been done in terms of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. And it is not desirable for the constitution to be changed because the South Africans have expressed themselves in their beliefs of the process of having people traditional leaders within their communities. Over to you, members.
There is also currently dealing the traditional court bill. They are dealing with this. Some of the issues here raised is part of that. So, members, I think it's a straightforward matter. Do we agree to go to item 8?
Moving on to, thank you, members. Item 8 is submission number 46 of 2020, and it is submitted by Mthandazo Ndlovu Hlala, who is a representative of an organization called Oxfam. This submitter is requesting that to present to the committee on the need to amend and align the Electoral Act and the Ingonyama Act. The advice to the committee is that we should advise the submitter that there are committees in parliament which are considering the legislation which is the Electoral Act and the Ingonyama Act. These committees are the Home Affairs Committee, the Portfolio Committee, which is considering the Electoral Act, and together with the Select Committee on Security and Justice is currently processing the Ingonyama Act. And therefore, presenting to the committee would not be the correct platform with regard to aligning these two pieces of national legislation, as it's not involving the constitution or a change thereof. Over to you, members.
It's more or less the same. Thank you very much, members. It's the same as item 7, if you read it correctly. But not unless there's anybody who wants to complicate this one. Can we move to item 9?
I take that as a yes, members. Item 9. Item 9 is submission 49 of 2020 and is submitted by a submitter called Ian Coltrane. He opposes the amendment of the constitution to permit warrantless searches by security agencies. Again, here, it's the same advice as above, where we will refer the matter as the committee to the police, to the PC on police, which is currently processing the act that speaks to warrantless searches, and also the Justice Committee, which is currently considering matters pertaining to the Criminal Procedure Act. So this submission also does not necessitate an amendment of the constitution because there was confusion that was called by DSA saying that there will be an amendment to the constitution in this regard. However, we as a committee which processes constitutional matters know that parliament is currently not considering any amendment to allow warrantless searches. However, there are committees in parliament, which is the PC on police and the Justice Committee, which are considering acts which deal with the permission to have warrants when conducting searches. Over to you, members.
I think members, we have dealt with that while we were still dealing with the matters randomly before we get into this, before dealing it in this sequence. Am I correct, members? We deliberated on this one.
Yes, Chair.
So the answer is yes. Then we go to the last item, item 10.
Thank you, members. Item 10 is also similar, but it is submitted by a different submitter, Mark Kosman. Mark Kosman is also led to believe that the constitution will be changed to allow warrantless searches. And he says to the committee, he objects to the South African police services being allowed to conduct warrantless searches. In the same vein, we as the committee should then refer this submission to the committees which are responsible for the processing of the legislation which considers the right to receive warrants. And therefore, members, I think you also agree that it is not desirable to amend the constitution, and then I will populate this table as per your advice based on your first deliberation on this matter. Thank you. Over to you, members.
Members, this one is almost the same as item 9. I think members agrees on that. Members, thank you very much. I think we have dealt with our today's agenda. Maybe the way forward now from Sisanda to Sisanda is that let's look at those items that need we will have the presentation. Check if it's possible also to get the legal opinion on these matters before the end of the year, and then we will hear some of the presenters next year. But if we can get, because now they said they'll be ready from the 2nd of December, if our next meeting can focus on that, it will assist us a lot. And otherwise, members, thank you very much. And then my apology again that I was cut off a while we were discussing these matters. But I happened to get back soon and I followed everything that was presented. Let me hand over officially again to my co-chair. Thank you very much.
Co-chair, I think we should thank you for the structure and approach that you suggested. It has actually assisted us to move forward in a more meaningful way, so that we are all clear as to how we should move forward into the next year. And I also want to actually, I want us to thank Honorable Jelle, because she has provided a dynamic relationship between justice and ourselves, and even advised us as to how many people are there in justice. And I think in planning the way forward, we should just avoid clashes between justice and ourselves, so that we can not have problems of quorums and things like that, because I guess justice is really of critical importance here. But otherwise, I also believe that if we have another meeting after the 2nd, where we can receive legal opinions, that will further empower us to plan for next year. But co-chair, thank you very much for the way in which you have led us in this committee. I think we can adjourn the meeting on that note.
Thank you very much, co-chair.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, members. Thanks, everybody.